Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be here and be able to visit with you today. I'd like to start by asking four questions. What would it be like to be in Jesus' family? What would be different about you? Why do you expect more from others than you expect from yourselves? How well do you meet the expectations that Jesus has for you specifically? Think about those questions as we go through this. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each person here. Let my words be your words, Lord, that they would strike someone's heart that's here today and listen to serve you in all that they do. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about today is Romans 12, verses 9 to 21, which I'm going to read. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lonely. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if an enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, talk about a lot of things, that declarations and commandments that are in that. How can we do that? Well, the honest answer is we can't. You know, how can we love? Our love be genuine, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. All those things that are listed there, live in harmony with one another. We can't live up to those in this life. And he talks about love at first. The first thing is, let love be genuine. The love he's talking about here is called agape love. In the Greek, there are four kinds of love, and we should have that, I think, in our language, because we just throw love around as a word that kind of hits everything. But in the Greek, there's four kinds. Eros, which is sensual or romantic kind of love. There's philia, which is brotherly love, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Storge, which is love of family, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, and that kind of love. And the greatest is agape, which is selfless, giving to others without expecting anything in return. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that kind of love. I was in the airport one time, and I came across this book, which is called The Greatest Thing in the World. This is not the one. The one I had was hardback, but I lost it somewhere. So anyway, by Henry Drummond. But anyway, it goes through 1 Corinthians 13. And it's often called the love chapter, and a lot of people read it at weddings and things like that. But it talks about patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, usefulness, good temper, those kinds of things through that chapter. But it ends up with this statement. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. God has great expectations for believers. We should love one another. And we can meet this passage if we think about it. We can try and strive. We're never going to get there. But love that Paul's talking about here is selfless love, selfless service. And as we go through this chapter, I want to go through again. And I'll break it down into three divisions. And the first division is Romans 12, 9 through 13. And I want to specifically talk about verses 11 and 12. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, and be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. To relate this back to my life, which you're going to hear about my life in this, when I was in college, I really didn't work as hard as I should have when I started. And when you grow up in the same town, you go to college, you got too many friends that detract you from, and I had a good time. But I did graduate with a degree in petroleum engineering, and my grades weren't that great, and there was also a downturn in the oil industry about that time, so I didn't get a job. So what are you going to do? The question gets to be, change your objective in your life, maybe go to graduate school, do something different. Well, I thought about it a long time and prayed about it. So in the petroleum engineering department there, they had a program for that was half business and half petroleum engineering. I said, well, I'll go to graduate school and do that. So I decided to buckle down and work harder, and I did, and graduated. And in the process of that, I learned a lot about computers. And computers back in the late 50s and early 60s aren't anything like they are today. But I did learn that anyway. So I got a job and I moved to a small town in Oklahoma. And Lindsay, Oklahoma, there's a water flood there. And I got to meet a lot of the engineers there. And we became friends. And I learned a lot and they learned a lot. And also, I was about 6 weeks into this assignment, and I'd met a girl, and I decided to ask her out to go to a movie one Sunday afternoon. And we did, and for the next 6 weeks, I was with her almost every day. At the end of that 6 weeks, I was moved to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to the headquarters, because they needed some people in the computing area. Well, I think from graduate school, I got into computing. So this girl and I, about 3 weeks after I'd moved to Bartlesville, in the middle of November, well, we got married. So it was not being, you know, being apart was kind of a problem thing. So anyway, the lesson you learn in this is that God has a plan for your life. I think every one of us, God has a plan for their life. You know, the experience that I had with computing in graduate school, that's what I did in my job most of the time. The people that I met, the engineers that I met in Lindsay, they were some of the best friends we've had all of our life. Some of them aren't here anymore, but they are our best, we're our best friends. In fact, one of the engineers that I met in Lindsay, his son is my daughter's husband. So it's a close family. And then most of all, the gal I went on that date with and I have been married for 58 years. So, you know, none of this would have happened if I'd gotten a job out of when I was with my regular bachelor's degree and gone to work. It all happened because I went to graduate school. So you got to trust God with a plan for your life. Follow His guide. You know, today people say, I can do it myself. It's all mine. It's, you know, it's me, and I can do it. It's not the way it is. The way it is, it's God directing your life. And loving God requires selfless, steady service to Him. The second division. The second division in this is in here somewhere. I'm talking about Romans 12, 14 to 16. And what I want to specifically look at in this section is Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. And we had been married about 13 years, I guess. And we were about to have our son, Stephen. And the rejoice reminds me of the day before he was born. Beth was in the hospital. And the hospital room was filled with our friends. They wanted to rejoice with us for having a child. And you could hardly get in the room. And the doctors came in and ran everybody out. But that was friends excited for us, rejoicing that. And the timing was such that we were also rejoicing with our daughter who was going to leave for college. In fact, I think Beth was in the hospital when I took her to college. So we had a large difference between the ages of our kids. But having Stephen was a blessing. It kept us young. His friends' parents were a lot younger than we were. And I think that kept us young, kept us excited in life. And it was just a challenge, and a good challenge, that we had a youngster that was growing up and a daughter that was in college. So we had a lot to do to balance our lives in that. And the lesson in that, to me, is you got to trust God for His timing in life. You know, He's got a timing, and you've got a timing. Rejoicing with friends and family, especially church family, has kept us grounded in what we are and where we are and how we act and what we react to, which is, again, different than the culture that we see today. It's all about, I can do it myself. Blame God. I want to be first. That's what it is today. And we need to trust God and His timing in what we do. And speaking of weeping in that section, we had a close friend that we met in church we went to in Colorado when we had a place out there. And he passed away this past week. So we will be weeping with his family on Tuesday. The next section that I want to talk about is Romans 12, 17 to 21, which talks about verse 17 is repay no one evil for evil, but give thoughts to do what is honorable in the sight of all. I was working for this company again, and I'd been there about 30 years, and we were very comfortable. I had a good job. Stephen was a sophomore in high school, and our daughter Jean Ann was married, had our first two granddaughters, so we were happy with that. And Beth was involved in activities at school and in the community. And they walked in one day and says, well, we don't need you anymore. So that's kind of a shocker. You could have done a lot of things. And I don't think I was upset, but I don't think I was that upset. But anyway, so what do? You look for another job. Well, it took me about 2 years to find a job. But the job wasn't in Tulsa where we lived. It was in Oklahoma City. And Stephen was going to be a senior, and so we didn't want to take him out of the school he'd gone to from time he was in kindergarten. And so our house sold sooner than we thought. And so it ended up that Beth and Stephen had an apartment in Tulsa and I had an apartment in Oklahoma City for almost a year. We'd get together on the weekends and I had some commitments, so we did that during the week too. But anyway, after Stephen graduated from high school, we moved to Edmond, Oklahoma. And if we hadn't done that, you know, we wouldn't be here today, I don't believe. Because we lived prior to that in the town, same town, for 23 years. We were comfortable. We had a good church. We were active in the church. And basically, it was a comfortable life, and we didn't want to upset things. So I remember at the time we were moving, Beth and I talked, and I said, well, you know, when we're moving to Oklahoma City, we got to find a church. So do we want to go to find a large church that we can kind of attend and go to? Or do we want to go to a smaller church that we'd found there and get involved and participate? So you can guess what we did since we're here at the dwelling. But we did get involved. And the lesson in that to me is that God is moving us, each one of us, you and me, out of our comfort zone. And they want us to be challenged to do something for God. And I think that's what we've done. The culture is opposite of that. I want you to kick back and relax and have nothing to do with God. But here, we need to move forward and be close to God and do what we can for Him. So what's your response to this kind of situation? It's a good question. What does Jesus have in store for you? And I can close in with, you can see how God has directed my life, in our life. And looking back at Romans 12, can we achieve all the declarations and commandments that are written in Romans 12? Start with no, not in this life. Can we trust God even though we cannot meet all these challenges? Yes, we can. Because we know that God has a plan for our life. God's timing is not our timing. And God is challenging us to step out in faith and serve Him in all that we can do. Romans 12 sums up the three heads of Christian duty: to God, to ourselves, and to others. So I want to go back to the questions I asked you earlier. What would it be like to be in Jesus' family? What would be different about you? And why do you expect more from others than ourselves? How well do you meet these expectations that Jesus has for you? Just think about that this week as we move forward in your life. And I want to close with a quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. Christian love, either toward God or toward man, is an affair of the will. If we are trying to do His will, we are obeying the commandment, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the blessings that you shower on each one of us. Guide those here today through this coming week that they might search you to see how they can serve you in all that they do. Watch over them, strengthen them, keep them under your care always. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Richard, thank you for sharing your life. And whether you're 5, 15, 25, 35, 55, 75 plus, God's got a plan for each one of us. And He is working in our lives for the glory, for His glory, and for the betterment of us, even when things don't seem that way. So Again, if you've got some questions around, I don't know about all this, please spend some time with me up here, or Richard, or Tiffany, Matt. We'll be glad to spend some time. I do want to close this out with a brief benediction. This actually comes from Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us through Jesus Christ, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in his love. Go in his peace.